At a recent Skype event hosted by our home station, WBUR, I had the pleasure of talking with two of the hottest voices in young adult fiction. Angie Thomas first achieved huge success in 2017 with her debut novel, The Hate U Give, about a young Black woman who becomes a witness to a police shooting. That book stayed on the bestseller list for well over 2 years, and she followed that up with a couple of more novels, as well as a nonfiction book about writing. Tomi Adeyemi also wrote the bestseller lists with her 2018 debut novel, Children of Blood and Bone, and the follow-up, Children of Virtue and Vengeance. Though the books are about bringing magic to the mythical kingdom of Orisha, Tomi is also known for incorporating many modern-day issues like brutality against Black people into her work. So, of course, there's lots to talk about. I began by asking Angie Thomas what gave her the bravery to first put pen to paper.
From 13 until 17, I wanted to be a rapper, and I wasn't good at it. And then I got to college, and I was like, you know, I think I want to leave the rap thing alone. I want to study creative writing and figure out what kind of writing I want to do. And I went to like a mostly white school, and I was the only Black student in the creative writing program. And so, like, I had a lot of experiences there that really I found myself being silent, probably at times where I shouldn't have been. And writing became my outlet. And so I would write stuff and I would share it with, like, maybe my Black friends. And they're like, oh, snap, I feel like this too. And so once I got out of college, I was like, you know, I think I want to pursue this book writing thing. But the thing was, I was looking at young adult literature and there weren't a lot of people that looked like us writing books. And they definitely weren't the main characters in those books. So it wasn't so much bravery. I think at the time it was just, I'm just going to have the audacity to write these books about young people who look like me in neighborhoods like mine. And if I just have to sell them at the back of my trunk, then that's what I'm going to do. Like, imagine me standing on the corner like, hey, I got this book. You
know? Right. I love that. Thank you for turning that around from bravery to audacity. Did it feel that way for you, Tomi? Because you create these amazing characters, I mean, that like Angie, people see themselves in those characters. So having the audacity to write your truth.
If I go completely inner world, I had an experience this year with my health where I couldn't write. And it like, it was painfully clear what writing is for me and what it's always been for me, which is just my lifeboat. It's this outlet for me and this sort of companion through this really insane process of being alive. And yeah, so on one part, it really is just a part of me. On the external part of me, I was a very angry, I finally feel like I can say I was a very angry young adult, not necessarily as a teenager, but in my earlier 20s, just a lot of rage over what was happening in the world, over the headlines I was seeing, over just the never-ending barrage of police brutality. There's a blog post I wrote after the South Carolina Bible study shooting. And if you read it, it does just feel like my angry, I'm going to write this thing and it's going to be so good. And you're going to end up for all those people who said you didn't like the Hunger Games because Rue was Black. Well, you're going to have to like this because it's so good and everyone's going to be Black. And everyone, you know, there was a lot of gusto, but really underneath there was a lot of pain. So for me, Angie like smacked the pinata open and was like, oh, whoa, we actually can change things. We actually can do this. Okay, let's like kick it into gear and keep going. And I feel like that's been happening. So I do hope that's what writers see whenever they see someone they admire, they see someone breaking new ground. Like it should just look like one more wall has been knocked down and we can keep going and keep going and keep going.
I want to break this down with you more, the breaking down of walls, because the late young adult writer, Walter Dean Myers, wrote this New York Times op-ed shortly before his death about the lack of representation within the YA genre. And he said this quote, "Book transmit values. They explore our common humanity. What is the message when some children are not represented in those books?" Angie, how have you reconciled the reality that you two are part of a renaissance in a way? Yes, you're writing books that speak to today, but you're also part of a long tradition of Black writers who really understood that true liberation comes in the form of having access to thoughts.
I think about that article a lot. I would not be where I am if we're not for Walter Dean Myers. He wrote that op-ed And it spurred the We Need Diverse Books movement. And from there, the We Need Diverse Books movement and the organization gave me the grant that helped me to write my first novel, helped me buy the laptop to write The Hate U Give. So him doing that article knocked down a wall, you know? So I'm so thankful. But it's twofold. On one hand, I know that the books that I write are mirrors, windows, and sliding glass doors, to quote Dr. Rudy and Sims Bishop. They're going to give some kids some mirrors, and that's important, but they're also going to give kids some sliding glass doors and some windows, and those are important as well. It's important for white kids to read about Black kids and read about the different kinds of Black kids. But on the other hand, we have this whole idea that anything done by a Black author or a marginalized author has to be excellent, when we should be able to do a range of kinds of books. We shouldn't have to hit a certain level to be able to get a seat at the table.
There is a movement of adults who are really into YA. How does that feel, knowing that both of you are, you're writing for young adults, but really you're writing for everyone?
For me, it's like, take that, YA critics.
Right, because there's a lot of criticism as well about the YA genre.
I love YA. I've always loved YA. I'm finally getting to the age where I'm appreciating adult fiction more as like a consumer. But I think why YA speaks to all of us is not just because it's so emotionally intense and usually more plot driven, because it has to be. We're not separated from who we were growing up. That was one of the questions I asked my teacher. I was like, hey, I just want to know, is there a certain age where the lever switches and you completely feel like the adult version of yourself? And they're like, no, you just act like it and pay your taxes. So I think
that's a good teacher.
It's a beautiful opportunity because you get to write the stories you want to write, cover all the things you want to cover, get to engage with such an incredibly passionate audience, but then also get to speak to adults. And just, yeah, I look at it as a blessing because the audience is wider and, you know, you get to reach more people if you write something that connects with a broad audience.
This question comes from someone listening. They say, I teach and share your books and love discussing with kids. How do I help parents when they're worried about their babies being exposed to big ideas? Would you like to take that one, Angie?
Sure. I would say, one, know that your babies can handle more than you think. A lot of times we don't necessarily consider that young people do know what's happening in the world. I had a young man reach out to me once and he's like, I'm 10 years old and I read The Hate U Give. And at first my reaction is, oh, you know, but he's like, but it helped me. And me and my mom had these discussions and stuff. I think the best thing a parent can do is make themselves available to these discussions with their kids. And then too, I will say, I once had a white parent come up to me at an event and she was like, I don't know if my 14-year-old is ready to read The Hate U Give. And I said, well, could you tell that to the Black parent who's having a conversation with their 9-year-old about what to do if they're stopped by a cop? And then she said, oh. So a lot of times when we're talking about these big ideas and these difficult conversations, we're not considering the parents or the people that are forced to have them. And we want to stay in our comfort, but you can't change unless you're a little uncomfortable. You can't raise young people who become empathetic adults, who become caring adults, unless you're going to have these uncomfortable conversations about real things that affect people beyond themselves, about issues beyond the things they're dealing with. So have books about the big ideas, but also have the discussions about the big ideas.
Also, it's to what Angie said, it's a huge opportunity. I think that's one of the things parents say the most to me, of like, oh, I read this with my kid, and this is one of the first things we were able to really do together. Because I think it's hard, especially as your kids grow up, to find the things you can really do in tandem. So yeah, just see it more as an opportunity as opposed to a grenade.
What advice would both of you have? I know you get this question a lot, but it's one that everyone is hanging on. What advice would you give to a young person who wants to write or is thinking about writing?
Well, my first piece of advice is be okay with being imperfect. Like, a lot of times what keeps people from writing, whether young or not so young, is when they sit down and they write and they're like, oh, this isn't good. I just read this awesome book. This is awful compared to that. Do you recognize how many edits that book went through? Like, get it out there. Editing can come later. Just write.
Mm. Tell me.
Yeah, I would say find that inner world. I think because we are in such a hyper-connected age and there's like Wattpad and like just all these ways to share what you've written and immediately get validation or really painful feedback. I would say if writing is something you love, protect that shell. Get really good at going into that inner world and just taking whatever's in your mind and putting it on your page. Because if this is something you want to do with your living, it's like a job like anything else. Like there are ways to do it. There's paths to do it. There is a process. That part can come. But if you solidify that inner world that you dive into for that creativity and for that process and for what it does for you, something that you have like 24/7 access to right now that you don't need an agent or a publisher to give you, that's all you need. The other stuff can come.
Well, Tomi Adeyemi and Angie Thomas, thank you so much for this conversation. It has been great to talk with you about your work.
Thank you so much. Thank you for this conversation.